Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I got to tell you, you know, I do take some Tuesdays off from time to time. I was just telling the counselor, Carl Zachariah, and I really miss when I don't have a chance to sit down and talk to these gentlemen because they do educate me, and they are very passionate about the elder community, and elder law is what they do. So it's going to be an amazing hour. Always an honor to be with them here in our studios tonight. Carl Zachariah, and of course, Ben Urso at his side, Zachariah Brown. Our number is very simple, 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com, and you can text us on the Red Automotive Line, the best deal in town. And there is no place like home. Click your heels three times. There's no place like home, and that is one of the many topics that we're going to be discussing tonight. Ben, you can begin.
Yeah, that's correct. Carl and I were just talking before the show about different cases we have going on. And a lot of it has to do with general questions and more specific ones when it comes to protecting your home. A lot of times that's just in general, whether somebody's in a nursing home or not. A lot of times they're thinking of that going into the future. Maybe you're just still living at home, or maybe now you're in a personal care home and you still own a home and somebody's living there, or maybe it's now vacant, or maybe you have a sale pending on your house and you're curious as to what to do with the money. That's a lot of what we do in the overall scheme of long-term care planning for older adults and for individuals of all ages. But a lot of it has to do with especially planning for Medicaid, or medical assistance as it's called in Pennsylvania. And for anybody that's not familiar with that program, it's basically a health insurance program that's federally and state funded that essentially pays for most all of your long-term care costs. If you're in a nursing home, also called a skilled nursing facility, and you can actually also receive Medicaid in your very own home, which a lot of people don't realize. So that's one of the big benefits where you don't have to go to a nursing home. You can remain right in your very own home and receive Medicaid. And like I said, a large part of that has to do with protecting your house. And that's one of the first questions we get every time we meet with somebody.
So how much paperwork, Counselor Mr. Zachariah, goes into all of this? And that's one of the reasons why you want to call them at 724-942-6200. Good evening.
I'd say the average Medicaid application is about 1,000 to 1,500 sheets of paper.
Oh.
You know what else, Rob? I just learned about this. Ben and I learned about this today. The state, you know, I think a lot of people maybe have the opinion that, well, it's Medicaid. How hard can it really, how hard can it be to apply for that? It's Medicaid, right? They are trying everything they can to deny your application, and they really are. And we found out today they just have a new system, a company they hired, and I think I know what they're using. But they can put somebody's name or social security number in this nationwide database, and it will tell you over the past 10 or 15 years, every real estate transaction that person was involved with, every car transaction, every boat transaction, every airplane transaction, any kind of a registered vehicle or real estate, every single one will kick out in this report. Push of a button, there it is. And they're using that for their Medicaid applications, looking for transfers inside of this 5 years. And it does a nationwide search.
So what would be the reason? How could they benefit by refusing you? I mean,
they save money. Medicaid is a big pot. So they save money.
At the expense of the citizen that's been paying into their Social Security and taxes from day one.
That's how it works.
So that's why you need an elder attorney.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's why they're using the system now. They're basically looking for any transfer for less than fair market value over the past 5 years. Anything that you've done, any name you've added to your account or taken off of your account, any transaction you made for buying or selling a house, buying or selling any kind, anything with a title, really, whatsoever. So, and a lot of it is very misleading. And a lot of it, like I said, is not entirely accurate all the time. And now they're using the system, which is just, it's going to just delay things more so. And I don't know that it's going to make things better. It's just going to make things take longer. They're just going to have more paper to go through, and it's just going to take longer for these individuals that need the care to get the care that they need because of these systems. So
we'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions about this topic, the phone number is 866-391-1020. All of our lines are open. Ben Comino is my producer tonight. We'd love to get you on hold and get you ready to talk to either Ben or to Carl. And if you want to call them directly and leave your name and number, they will get back to you. 724-942-6200, McKeesport, McMurray, and Wexford. And yes, in Florida, in Bradenton and Pompano, if you're listening online. So here's the thing. I don't care really how smart you are. Just navigating all of the paperwork and crossing T's and dotting I's and re-questioning yourself long after you've sealed the envelope and sent it in, I just don't think that stress really should be anybody's issue at this stage of their life dealing with something like this. This should be a seamless process. And in my opinion, I don't know why you wouldn't call an elder attorney.
Well, I think a lot of people, first of all, don't like or afraid of attorneys. And I think they're afraid attorneys are very expensive. And but what they should understand is that we're not people who frighten anybody, and the money that they pay us, they save, because they don't have to pay to the nursing home. So you don't get anything by trying to do it on your own. You save nothing. You take maybe some portion of that money you would pay to the nursing home, hire lawyers to do it. You get Medicaid faster because you haven't paid the nursing home as long. The lawyers are taking care of everything for you. It really costs them nothing more. But people don't fully understand that because they've never done it before, and a lot of them will never do it again. It's dangerous. It's really dangerous. I mean, there's a new cottage industry of law firms, lawyers, suing family members for nursing homes. Because if you give away, say, $50,000, even if it's $50,000 in transfers that your dad made, but he has Alzheimer's and nobody knows what the money was for, you're not eligible, or he's not eligible after he's out of money. Medicaid issues a 5-month penalty, and the nursing home says, well, he doesn't have the money to pay us. Somebody's going to pay us, and they sue the children. That's what happens.
All right, you're going to want to get on the line. We already have one caller, Eileen from Bridgeville. We'll get to her after the break. Going to be a very interesting hour with Ben and Carl. They are attorneys from Zachariah Brown Law for the Elderly, PittsburghElderLaw.com. 724-942-6200 is their office number. You can call us at 866-391-1020. You can also reach us via social media, Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com, and text me on the Right Automotive Line, the best deal in town. It's the exact same number that you phone in with, 866-391-1020. All right, I'm going to let Ben summarize what we're talking about tonight in the first segment, then right to the phones we go, as promised, with Eileen. Ben, go ahead.
Yeah, right. What we're talking about real quick is protecting your house, especially when it comes to planning for long-term care, especially if somebody is in need of a Medicaid, if they're going to a nursing home, or they can get Medicaid by getting caregivers to come into their very own home. And as we talked about, one of the first questions we get is, how do I protect my home? Am I going to lose my home? There's a lot of questions there. But overall, like I said, if you come to see us, you're not going to lose your home. You can protect your home. There's a lot we can do to protect your home. And like I said, that's just one of the big questions we get. And just overall, you just want to come and see us, basically.
All right, listen, and if you are the child of someone and you're worried about their home being taken from them, or you have any questions, you're driving around tonight, you're at home, you want to call us, now would be a good time. 866-391-1020. We have lines available. As promised, first stop, Bridgeville tonight for Carl Zachariah, Ben Urso, Zachariah Brown. This is Eileen. Eileen, welcome to KDK Radio. Good evening.
Well, good evening, gentlemen. In a few months, I'm going to loan my daughter some money for some out-of-pocket dental work. What percentage of interest do I have to charge her for the loan to be legit?
I don't think you have to charge your interest at all.
Oh, I thought for the government, you have to have it, you know, be a, really to be a loan that they are, you know, her and her husband are going to pay back. It has to be on paperwork, and I have to charge a percentage?
It has to be in writing.
Okay.
And it has to be just a normal contract that says that you are loaning her so much, and she agrees to pay you back in monthly or some incremental time, monthly typically, over a period of time to pay it back.
Okay. Could I do this through a notary?
It depends on how complicated or how sophisticated this is. You could probably just do this yourself, but just say, I'm loaning my daughter this much,
okay,
or your daughter's name, this much money. She agrees that she will pay me back every month and this amount for the period of time of so many months till it's all, everything is paid off. There will be no interest rate. It will begin on this date and end on this date, and she can pay it off early if she wants. And, you know, if it's not all that complicated,
Oh, very good. That would be okay for the 5-year look back?
Well, the 5-year look back would treat it as an asset, so she continues to make those payments to you, and those payments go to the nursing home if you're on Medicaid.
Just so it's not presumed to be a gift. You know, that I gifted. Okay.
Yeah, no, if it's in writing, it won't be a gift. But I got to tell you, Eileen, and the rest of anybody who's listening, that you might get some caseworker who sees it differently. But that caseworker is wrong. And there's a lot of wrong ones out there. A lot of new people that don't understand the job. But they would be wrong, and I could identify for you the regulation that handles that. And it says effectively, as long as it's in writing, it's okay.
Terrific. Thank you so much, Carl. Good night.
You're welcome. Good night.
All right. Biggest takeaway from that call. What should the audience take from that call?
What I'd like everybody to take away, that applying for Medicaid is not a scientific machine. You don't type in 3 numbers, say add them, and you get the same answer. It just doesn't work that way. They don't get it. I mean, I can tell you stories after stories after stories of people handling the applications for the state who have it all wrong. It's every day. And a lot of people just will listen and say, well, they're the ones handling the application. They must be right. I must be wrong. And they do what they say, but they're wrong. It happens all the time.
You think people bend sometimes because someone says, I am that person, that they buy into that is that person?
Yeah, right. Almost all the time. Yeah, I mean, they just assume what they're hearing is from somebody that works for the state. So they just assume that they must know what they're talking about. And they don't all the time. I mean, some of the time they do, and a lot of times they don't. And like Carl was saying, it's not all the time. It's not malicious all the time. A lot of times it's just out of ignorance and not knowing. And a lot of times because the law changes so much, the Medicaid numbers change twice a year, a lot of the numbers. So it's
every year.
Every year. Every year, yeah. Every year they change twice a year. So it's like it's almost impossible if you're not doing this all the time. Even if you are doing it all the time, it's very hard to keep up on that kind of thing if you really don't know what you're talking about.
All right, 866-391-1020. But best bet, you want to just call them, leave your information now. They will get back to you, 724-942-6200. We have a couple of lines available. Let's go back to the phone, say hi to Kurt from Cranberry. You're on KDK Radio, Zachariah Brown.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just had a question about, I'm not sure what it's called, but the resident child 2-year transfer.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
My question regarding that is, now, is that just for look-back purposes, or can she actually transfer the deed to the child free and clear?
Yeah, I mean, that's for look-back purposes. So, yeah, if you're within the 5-year look-back, you can gift a house to what's called a caretaker child if that child has been living in the Medicaid applicant's home for 2 years or more immediately prior to the time that they apply for Medicaid. And that's
okay,
an order. That's
the time.
Right.
I'm sorry. Upon the time the elderly person passes away, now that's still going to go through the estate and everything. You can't just transfer the deed over.
Well, not after the person passes away. This would have to be done before they pass away.
Before they pass away, yes. Yeah. So, but the house would be then the caretaker's free and clear?
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you transfer the house to the caretaker, before the person passes away, it would be theirs free and clear. And assuming, again, you do this like a year and a day before the person passes away. If you do it within a year, you'd have to pay inheritance tax on it. If you do it outside of a year before the person passes away, you don't have to pay inheritance tax on it. But yeah, for all intents and purposes, it is that caretaker child. If they gift it to them, before they pass away and they do everything correctly. And again, I would not do this on your own without meeting first with us, because there's a lot of things that can go wrong. But just by doing this,
there are more issues than that. What appeared to be a very simple question. There's a ton of little issues in there. Mm-hmm. Like the transfer has to be 2 years prior to going into the nursing home. So if the person's not in the nursing home, then it really doesn't apply, does it? You have to be in the nursing home. I might argue around that one, but that holds. The other one is no inheritance taxes we're talking about. But what about capital gains taxes? Because if there's no inheritance taxes, there might be capital gains taxes. It depends on your position and how you frame that house. Is if it's your home, maybe there's no capital gains if you sell. But if it's not, there might be. Mm-hmm. I mean, capital gains taxes are 20% of the gain for most people. That's a lot more than the 4.5% for inheritance taxes. Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Kurt?
Sure.
Anything else, Kurt?
Nope, that's it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, Kurt.
All right, again, number to dial, 866-391-1020. Dollar Bank, Instant Access, KDKRadio.com. Text us on the Rent Automotive Line, best deal in town. You think sometimes you might just believe that there's a possibility that maybe they don't want you to understand all this stuff?
Yeah. Sometimes. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they're always constantly. We're looking again today. They always issue these things called policy clarifications, and I say that in quotes because sometimes they think they're clarifying things in a policy clarification that the Department of Human Services issues to all the county assistance offices, and a lot of times it doesn't make things more clear. So it does the exact opposite. So they think they're clearing something up. Yeah. They think they're, I don't know, things that we've been doing for years and things that make sense. They'll just flip the book a lot of times, and it doesn't make things more clear. So.
You know, what they have that I do love, though, for us and for our clients, is their legal department is sharp. They know the rules. They do. They understand. They get it. They've been around for a while. They know them all. But the caseworkers, a lot of them are new. They don't know. They don't get it. But we get these fights and these arguments. We said, please take it to legal. Then we talk to the legal department, whom we're all very close with. We work together all the time. They know. And they're very helpful to us. We don't ask for anything exorbitant. Just, okay, here's the reg, and they're getting it wrong. I mean, we had a case, I might have mentioned this one before, where the applicant was making $2,800 a month and got denial. Said, you make too much income. And the bill for the nursing home was $10,000 a month. I said, that's not right. That's not, no. I've been doing it that way for years.
All right, 866-391-1020, Dollar Bank, Instant Access, kdkradio.com, text us on the Red Automotive Line, best deal in town. All right, time to just spill my guts to you two. You know, I was just saying during the break, you know, I really care about what you guys do. And now that I'm 62, I see it even more clearly. And I realize what's happening to the elder people of our community and how they really get, I think, a number done to them many times, especially when it comes to their health care. And, you know, I make an extremely good living. I have a great job, very blessed, fortunate. But I know a lot of people who have worked twice as hard who don't have the same things that I have. And you really take it to heart when you see what happens to them. You guys must hear these stories every single day. And Carl, you're my age, a baby boomer. And Ben, you're obviously a whole lot younger. And congratulations, you and your bride going to have a baby.
Always yes, thank you.
Invite me to the shower because I like free food.
You got it.
Yeah. But what does this do to you when you hear these stories? Now we're talking about people in the biggest investment of their life that they've worked their entire life and they've paid off their home possibly being taken away from them. Carl.
Sometimes, Rob, what I like about this job is sometimes I almost feel like a superhero. It sounds ridiculous, but it's true.
It's true.
When we step in and say, hold the phone, where did you get this idea? We talked to the caseworker, and we have to go above them to the supervisor, a lot of times to the legal department, and we just save everybody, really. I mean, they said they're trying to sell dad's property, and they're trying to, you know, they take a guardianship for him, and the world's in absolute chaos. But we step in with this thing called our legal authority, the law, the statutes, or the regulations as the case may be. Because here's what it says. Here's what it happens. Why aren't you following this here? And they said, well, that's not what my supervisor said. And so we'll take to the supervisor, sometimes above them, or sometimes we'll just go right to the law department in Harrisburg or Philadelphia and get the whole thing worked out.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to add to that what you were saying. Yeah, we get that a lot, and we see that all the time, especially if somebody is in the process of going to a nursing home or just needing care to come into their own home, because they do hear a lot of stories where people are losing their houses and they're having to pay their income all to the nursing home or their IRAs are being drained. And I'm sitting there listening like Carl, and the reason I'm not freaked out a lot of times the way that they are is because we know we can help them. I know the answers to their questions. And I mean, I know Carl thinks the same thing, is because we know what we're telling them. Like, we've been there before and we can handle it. And that's why it doesn't stress me out the way that I'm listening to a lot of these other people, because we know that we can help them. So,
do you know how many Medicaid applications that we've done or my staff have done? Tell me. Over 7,000. Over 7,000. It's a lot. And I have the proof to back that up.
And you are as driven 7,000 later as you were a number one.
Oh, yeah.
And let me ask you, this is what
now,
I...
Now, to be fair about full and... I happen to own a company that for the past 12 years, we've had a contract to do all the Medicaid applications for four of the largest nursing homes in Western Pennsylvania. It's not legal work. But when my staff sees legal work, then they make them aware that they should talk to an elder law attorney. They can talk to us or they can talk to the lawyer of their choice. But we have a pretty big staff, and we've done a lot. We know more than anybody, I'm sure.
Listen, if you're out there right now, and this has kind of made your ears perk up a little bit, and especially if you're the child of a parent who's going through this or you're facing that responsibility of helping them with this transition, call us now. All of our lines are open, 866-391-1020. We'll get you on the air immediately. But my real best advice is to call them direct and leave your information at their law firm, 724-942-6200. You know, it sounds as though we're the big bad wolf. You know, your house could be taken away. But I don't think people realize that actually does happen.
It happens.
Well, it happens a lot.
Yeah.
Here's a quiz. Let's say somebody wants to call in and answer this quiz question.
All right.
We have Bob and Mary. Bob's in the nursing home. Mary's at home. Bob goes on to Medicaid, and then Mary decides she wants to sell her house and move into a personal care home or independent living or something. And so he's in the home. He's on Medicaid. She sells the house and gets $200,000 for the house. What happens with that money? Does Mary get to keep it? Does Mary keep half of it? Bob keeps half of it? Does it all go to the state? Does it all go to the nursing home? What happens?
Okay, and this is going to be a good barometer on why I think all of us, because I'm still trying to figure it out, why we need an elder attorney like you. So give the question one more time, and if you think you know the answer, 866-391-1020. Go.
So Bob and Mary, Bob's in the nursing home, Mary's at home. Mary sells her home and moves into an apartment, independent living. She gets $200,000. What happens to that $200,000? Does she keep it? Does it go to the state? Does it go to the nursing home? Does half of it go to Bob? Does he get off of Medicaid? What happens with that $200,000?
Now, his name is on that deed too, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And then we'll say, well, what happens if his name's not on that deed?
Oh, smart aleck.
Yeah.
No, because we would take his name off the deed as part of the answer. Sorry.
Woo! And just something that small, and they'll actually pounce on something like that.
There's a federal court case that I have in front of me right now that has the answer on it. That this question, which seems so simple, you're like, you're taking somebody's name off the deed, you're putting it in Mary's name, and what happens to the money? You think it would be common sense, and it apparently wasn't that common sense. That's why there's a federal court case about it. So,
we'll give the answer now. Yeah.
No, wait.
We don't have to give the answer. I'm just saying that's why it's not a simple answer.
And I have one, a much simpler one. John is in a nursing home. He's on Medicaid. He gets his tax return and it's $3,000. That takes him over his allowed $8,000 asset limits. What happens to that $300,000? Does he go off of Medicaid? What happens to it?
All right, let's get our first caller right now on the air who wants to take a shot at this question. Cheryl in Penn Hills, KDK Radio. Go ahead, Cheryl.
I think it all goes to the nursing home to pay for Bob's care.
Well, you're wrong. Now, we're just talking about the law, Cheryl, not necessarily what a caseworker might say. A caseworker might say, you've got to give all that money to the state or to the nursing home, or we're going to throw you off of Medicaid. They might say that, but they're wrong.
Oh.
But if you didn't have an elder attorney, though, they may get that money you realizing that they shouldn't get that money.
Right, yes, exactly.
Is this next caller here have an answer?
Oh, listen.
We'll be giving the right answer here in a minute, Cheryl.
We are. By the way, we're going to talk to our next caller in just a moment. But again, here's the question. Go ahead. And by the way, by the time we're done with this segment, you're all going to realize if you even think or you're doubting yourself about having an elder attorney take care of you or your loved ones, you won't be thinking anything other than give me that phone number. Go ahead.
Okay, so Bob and Mary. Bob's in the nursing home. He's on Medicaid. Mary sells their home, and she gets $200,000 for it. What happens to that money? Does Mary get to keep that? Does she have to give half to Bob? And she keeps half. Does it all go to the nursing home or all go to the state? What happens to it?
All right. I think this woman has a different question. But before you ask your question, Pam, do you want to take a shot at that question?
I wouldn't have any idea.
Okay. Hey, honesty is the best policy. Go ahead, Pam. What's your question?
Okay. I have a new grandson, and I'm 76 years old, and I would like to give them $500 as a gift that they could put in a savings for him or what have you. Is there any stipulation if I should die, you know, in the next couple months or a year or 2 years, would they be able to come back for that money?
Well, dying's not the problem, Pam. The problem is if you run out of money and apply for Medicaid to pay a nursing home, is there going to be an issue with you having giving money to somebody? And if it's something small like $500 or less than that, that should be okay. That should not be any kind of a problem whatsoever. But if you die, there's nothing wrong with it whatsoever.
Okay. I just wanted, you know, to make sure because I didn't know. I know the first grandson, I did give him that amount. So with the second one, I have to do the same.
No worries, Pam. You'll be fine with that.
All right, Pam. Thank you very much. But you see, stuff like that can work on your mind, and it's nice to know you can pick up the phone and get an answer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so here's the answer to the Bob and Mary.
Okay.
So this is federal law, so it applies across the nation, every state, and what should be applied and what we kind of point out, say, here's the law, tell me why we're wrong here, because we're not. And it says this, what we do is we put that house into just Mary's name. Mary then sells that house, that money's hers. 100%.
Nice.
Now, if she doesn't know what she's doing and she leaves it in Bob's in her name and she sells it, Bob gets half of it. She keeps half. Bob gets the other half. And he goes off of Medicaid until that money is spent down. That's a big cluster mess. Yeah, that's a problem.
Right.
All you got to do is put the house into Mary's name.
And even before that, what we do is that we tell the people that, and most people don't even realize, you can make gifts between spouses, because a lot of people they've heard of the five-year look back. They think you can't give away gifts. A lot of people don't even know you can do this in the first place, where you can gift things. They don't think it's making a gift by giving the house from one spouse to another. It is, but you can do that. There's no gifting for doing that within the five-year look back.
Yeah, there's no penalty for gifting to your spouse, because everything counts anyway.
All right, 866-391-1020. Tell them what the main topic has been tonight, Ben, then we'll go to break.
The main topic has been all about protecting your house, especially as it relates to planning for long-term care. And like Carl just said, the gist of it is when you're trying to protect your house, there are so many caveats that go into doing it. And like I said, there's so many things that you might not be thinking of that you have to consider, that we consider, that happen all the time, especially just Carl was talking about right now. Just the simple thing that you would think of, gifting the house from one spouse to another. What happens when you go to sell the house and one of the spouses is already on Medicaid? What do you do with that money? So the answer is that the community spouse, the spouse living in a nursing home, can keep all of that money, and it's federal law. So
you want to ask?
Yeah, something? I just want to see that if anybody wants to try to answer the simple question, John's in a nursing home. He's on Medicaid. He has $8,000. He's good. Now he gets a tax return from last year, and it's $3,000. What happens to that $3,000? What can he do with it?
If you think you know the answer, give us a call, 866-391-1020. All of our lines are open. We've got one more segment with Zachariah Brown, Ben Urso, Carl, Zachariah. They have offices in McKeesport, McMurray, Wexford. And if you're listening online, Bradenton and Pompano Beach, Florida. Their number is 724-942-6200. All right, before we take these final two calls, give us the answer to the guy who gets $3,000 back.
Well, believe it or not, that was a federal income tax return, and the policy memorandum states that if the applicant or the recipient of Medicaid gets an income tax return, they have 1 year to give it away. And if they give it away within that year, that's cool. That's fine.
There you have it, folks. I think the thing we're going to take away from tonight's program, call them, 724-942-6200. We have time for one more call. Let's go to Mary in Brentwood for Carl Zachariah and Ben Urso. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I listen to your show and also the shows on Saturday with Christine Brown. I'm single, and I have my executor of my will is my brothers or nephews, and I was wondering, how do I leave money for the executor to cover the expenses? All I have, all my assets are usually in beneficiaries except for my house and my car.
Well, you can either leave money in a checking account, or your executor will get paid when the house and or car are sold after your demise.
Okay, so could I set them up as a beneficiary on one of my accounts where they would be able to access funds to handle, like if they couldn't sell the house right away, they have to have pay the expenses of utilities and property tax, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you necessarily have to leave them as a beneficiary in order to do that. I mean, a lot of people don't get paid their executor's fee right away. A lot of times it's not until the estate is settled, which sometimes can be 9 months or so after the person passes away. Yeah, so I wouldn't worry. I wouldn't think you would have to do that if you're worried about?
Yeah, if it happened in the case I'd have, I would ask the executor, assuming that executor is not a beneficiary, that, look, tell these beneficiaries they're going to have to pony up some money to pay for the taxes and the utilities and care of the home until it's sold, because it is theirs, and if something happens to it, it's their loss. So it would behoove them to protect their investment, their inheritance in that home. And I think a lot of people will just do that too.
Mm-hmm. So the beneficiaries could volunteer to pay for any expenses.
Absolutely, yes. They get paid back at the sale of the house as well.
Okay, but I mean, if they're beneficiaries, they don't have to go through probate, right? They just can go into the bank with a death certificate.
Well, I'm talking about the beneficiaries under the will.
Okay, they're the same as my beneficiaries. The only thing that's passing through the will are the house and the car.
Okay. Well, you know, probate's really not a big deal in Pennsylvania. In fact, I have one next week. I'm going to open it on Thursday and close it on Friday. It's not really very hard in Pennsylvania.
But wouldn't there be inheritance tax that would have to be paid?
There's inheritance taxes no matter what.
Okay, because I had heard on Christine's program that make sure you have money set aside for your executor.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. Hey, listen, I don't mean to cut you off, but I do want to get Tom on here real quick. Tom, you've got 1 minute. Go ahead, sir. What can we do for you?
Hey, I guess real quick, it was a little bit more than 1 minute, but my father recently had a stroke. He's in rehab now. It looks like he's going to be setting up for some long-term care. Is it too late to come in and see you? He has some assets. He owns a house. He got a savings account. He has a 401k. Am I too late to come see you to get things right? Or
no, not too late. Yeah, not too late at all. Yeah, you definitely want to come. Call us tomorrow and make an appointment. You're not too late at all. The sooner you come, the better. And the sooner you come, there's more we can do to hopefully save as much of your dad's assets as possible.
Tom, so, let me give you another 30 seconds. Go ahead, Tom.
I don't have much more. I hear all this talk about losing houses, and I know that was his pride and joy. That would not be a good legacy to lose that on my watch. So I'm definitely going to give you guys a call.
We'll take care of that, Tom. I don't think your timing could be any better. This is the time to call. As soon as that person goes into a facility, that's the time to call us. Perfect timing.
I will be calling you guys tomorrow. Thank you, Ron, for having them on. You guys are great.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
See, that's why they do this show. And that's the best way we could end this show, with some good news for Tom and that legacy that he talked about. And let's face it, that's what this is all about, one generation to the next, getting it right. Here's that phone number, Tom. And for all of you out there who like to call the law firm of Zachariah Brown, McKeesport, McMurray, Wexford, and for those of you listening online, they have offices in Bradenton and Pompano Beach, Florida, 724-942-6200, 724-942-6200. Ben? Carl, thanks, guys.
Thanks, thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
All right, Joe DiStio coming up next with the news. Then we go into Open Talk. Rob Pratt Tuesday night continues on KDKA Radio.